Marty Hawk does join us this morning. She is the county councilwoman. She makes her Wednesday weekly visit. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning, Marty.
And isn't it nice not to have to talk about, well, are we going to have enough money to get through the rest of the winter? Last year at this time, we were talking about, well, if it keeps up like this, the county might not have enough money, sand, salt, whatever you need.
All of it.
What a difference a year makes.
We had really good news. Yesterday, John Chambers from the Highway Department came to meet with the county commissioners and let them know that because of the mild winter we've had so far, that we're about $350,000 ahead in money not spent on snow removal expenses.
Well,
so
let's
that's good
just hang
news.
On to it and make sure that we can cover it when it does get
bad. Yeah, you know what? Let's not put it in the rainy day fund. I'm tired of hearing that. Let's put it in the snowy day fund. At least it'll make more sense.
And remember, the rainy day fund is only in property tax or property tax or money that we move over from the income tax, but this is highway money, and it couldn't be moved over to rainy day anyway that I'm aware of. So many people on the plan commission, I've heard them say, well, the reason why they don't want people to build out in the rural areas is that our property tax caps keep us from being able to go out there and take care of the roads, and of course our property tax doesn't go out there and take care of those roads anyway. It's our gas tax and wheel tax and so forth. So
details.
Why would you actually want to understand where the money goes and how it's spent?
That doesn't make a good headline, Marty.
Well, perhaps not, but you just wonder, do they really not know, or do they hope we really won't know? I don't know which it is, but I'm certainly hoping that someone will make sure that the plan commission begins to understand the flow of money before they put that kind of news out there.
Now, is this the same plan commission that's having a hard time understanding what qualified applicants are as well, or am I getting my commissions confused?
Well,
here?
Remember that even the appointment to serve on the plan commission, of course, affects the plan commission and the planning department. That appointment is made through the county commissioners. And, of course, if you've been following along in the paper and with you folks, you know that the person that had been appointed to serve on plan commission by county commissioners has now stepped down and said he wasn't sure that others had been treated as fairly as he had been. So there was a meeting yesterday with the county commissioners, and they did not even discuss the replacement appointment.
Were you there, Marty?
I was not, but I had our council attorney went and gave a report back. It would be really nice if the county commissioners would allow their meeting to be televised.
That would be nice.
It should be out in the meeting room.
What time do these meetings take place?
This one is at 2 o'clock on Tuesdays.
When everybody's at work.
And right. And how are you going to follow along if it's not televised? We really put a lot of money into our Cats TV program, and we believe that anything of any importance is being televised. And so for these meetings not to be recorded in that fashion just seems to me it's just an affront to the people of this county who have elected these folks to go and be our voice, our representative, and they are there doing the people's business. It's not their private business. And so it seems to me that those meetings should be held in the public meeting room and they should be televised. So, and as it is, they meet in a little conference room. To walk in there, if you're a citizen off the street and might want to go to see what's going on, you feel like you are walking into a private meeting. Now, the doors have to be open, but regardless, it does not feel the same, and people do not feel as welcome to walk in there, and there's very little seating. It's just a conference table with some chairs around it.
So, Marty, they didn't discuss this yesterday. What did they discuss?
They did discuss the time frame for which the zoning ordinance, which was sent to them with no recommendation from the Plan Commission, they have only 90 days to act on it. Now, if they don't do something with it within that 90 days, and I believe the date that they received it, we'd have to go back to see exactly what date they received it. I thought I had an email that said the 12th. But we'd have to look at that. But then you start counting your 90 days from the day that they actually received it. And they, if they do nothing with it, and that 90 days goes by, then it's dead. That nothing happens with it.
Marty, so, does that have to be a unanimous vote?
No. I had said the other day it would really be lovely if it could be, so that we could see that our county commissioners agreed on something, but I don't think it will be. It does have to be a majority vote.
Right. Okay.
So it takes two out of the three to say, yes, we like exactly what was sent to us, and we agree that 25-year moratorium on use of your property, with a lot of other caveats thrown in. It would take too long to describe all of the things that would have to happen. I'm not certain that there is two out of three county commissioners who would like that part in there, but we'll see.
Well, but that's what they're voting on. If they decide to go ahead and pass this, they are including that part of the ordinance in there. And
right.
So
they certainly
for our
are.
Listeners' sake, why I'm bringing this up is that if you don't agree with that 25-year moratorium on splitting up property, you need to contact the county commissioners and let them know that you're not happy with this.
Now, they are going to be having, they did decide that they would be having a meeting about that. They did not say when that meeting would be. But if they decide to make changes to the document that have been sent to them, then they send it back to the Planning Commission and with the changes included, and then the Plan Commission has 45 days to respond on that. Now, the reason why I'm saying these time frames, it does seem to me that if the county, they already know that the Plan Commission is split 4-4, so they couldn't get a vote. They couldn't get a vote to say we approve it. They couldn't get a vote to say they didn't approve it. All they could get was let's send it off to the county commissioners with no recommendation. So the commissioners, county commissioners, who might want this passed and will have to send something back to the plant commission, will want to make sure that they have an appointment sitting there that's going to come their direction, that's going to vote in.
Well,
the
they tried that
they
already,
want.
And they got kind of some blowback.
If they can't, or I'm not saying I'm in favor of this plan. Let me be very clear. But the other thing they might very well do is say, "Look, if I cannot get that, if they can't get somebody appointed that they think would serve well to get their point of view across, then they have to work on one of the four members who didn't vote in favor of it."
Well,
so,
I mean, surely that's going on in the background already.
Well, and I think they already have had that. In the meantime, we have Scott Wells who's not happy with the way the appointment went and so forth. So that was one of the votes in favor. So this is all sort of inside politics, but you know what? If you own ground out there in the county, it's important to you. And I love Monroe County. I love the rural feel of Monroe County, and I love driving through the countryside and seeing this beautiful and the cows and the frost out there in the early morning. But, you know, I don't expect those farmers to keep it that way so that I can drive by and look at the pretty ground.
Aesthetics is a part of it. It's not all of it. Our guest this morning is County Councilwoman Marty Hawk. She joins us every Wednesday morning just after 8:05. Is there... There is no timeline for a replacement to fill these that seat that
appears to be the case that
because as Margaret and I talked on Monday, the gentleman who left and caused the seat to open had given the board a year.
Jerry Pitten
gave him a year advance. Said, "Hey, Jerry look, Pittman. I'm getting out of here in a year." So you had that year, and then he left, and then you've got another year before you've gotten to the gentleman from Boulder who is had his 2 weeks and now has gone. So how much more time do you need or want? So there's no
person qualified on the planet.
There's no legality that says you got to operate with a full board, Marty.
Well, you would think in order to keep the public's trust, you should.
Well, the public gave him 2 years, and I guess in 2 years, this isn't bothering anyone.
I'm just stating at some point in time, what your elected officials have to give back to the community is the ability for the community to trust your decisions and to believe you're doing the right thing. So to delay it this long does not bode well for anyone, not for
but
the
they
public.
Are not required by law or statute to fill that spot by a certain time once it's vacated.
No, but you know what? I believe you could probably add something in our local code to cover that.
Maybe that's something they should look at moving forward.
Well, then you'd have to talk to the county attorney and see how that would work.
Sure.
I did get some information from one of our county attorneys.
How many county attorneys do you have, just out of curiosity?
Well, a
lot. 4, 6, 12, 15? How many? I don't...
We have one for the county council and three that's just in the legal department. So that's a total of four, and that's far more than most counties would have. But what we do have here is...
Hell, everything in the county is all Democrat. What do you need all these attorneys for?
Well, you know what? Sometimes people say they don't like politicians, and I've had some politicians say they don't like realtors, and there's a whole lot of people say they don't like attorneys. So, you know, we're equally distressed, I suppose, by many. But one of the things that I was sent was saying that we have a code, a little known code out there that says if the state changes something, then ours automatically just changes along with it. And so that's the reason why there's a feeling that, well, somebody who lives in the city but owns property out in the county, that's all legit, and they could do it that way. But if that be the case, and if the county commissioners knew that was the case, then why were they not telling the people who lived, everybody who lived in the city, they had an opportunity?
And on top of it, why didn't the ordinance change to reflect it?
Well, and what they're saying is, what I've been told, is that they just didn't have time to get to everything. Well, they did change the ones for the committees. Having to do with planning and zoning and saying that you could live in the city if you own property out in the county and serve on these different areas, but did not change the residency requirement for the plan commission. So one could either say, well, maybe they couldn't get around everything, or that was deliberately left because they knew it would take more debate and it just was never anything done with. But at any rate, I think we have to look to see, do they plan to change this? And if they do, there should be open debate about whether or not the residency requirement to be out in the county planning jurisdictional area should remain as it is right now on our ordinance.
Well, but the fact of the matter is they did not change it, Marty. And
they did not, but their code, they have it written, is that if there's any change at the state, that ours will automatically change. Yeah, I don't like that at all.
No, I think that is very...
It gives the state some power, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm just saying that I'm told that it would have been ideal.
It seems very
updates, but they just didn't get all the updates completed, and other matters took precedent. Well, we've had more than a year of people being told there's no one applying and can't, you know, whatever.
Can't find
and nobody
the person,
even
it's...
looked at this to say it wasn't quite what's out there and being presented to the public is not the way they are believing it should be. Well, let's all get on the same page. We all are supposed to be working for the betterment of the people of Monroe County.
Oh, and unless it's not what you want politically.
That's Margaret Fetty. Marty Hawk also joins us this morning, the county councilwoman. She checks in every Wednesday just after 8:05. Moving forward, Marty, what else do we need to keep our eyes on as January wrapping up?
Right. Well, a quick reminder that even though our drivers at the highway department have not had to deal with a lot of snow. They did have to deal with that one day of a lot of ice, and we had one truck driver that hit that Tabor Hill Road and hit black ice, and our truck, with him inside, turned completely upside down.
Oh,
thank goodness he was in his seatbelt. It was a very dangerous situation. As a reminder, our drivers are out there in danger every time this weather turns on us. And then yesterday it appears that there's another situation where there was a wreck where
over on Bloomfield Road,
somebody just turned the wheel, went across the center line, and got into one of our trucks. And so whenever you're behind the wheel of those big dump trucks, it's a dangerous thing. And I just appreciate our highway workers, all of them. They make the difference of whether or not we can get to work on time. And remember, just because they're throwing the sand out behind them so that we can get to work safely, there's no sand in front of them.
They haven't figured out how to do that yet, right, Marty?
They're riding right on the ice to get us safely to our place of work. So we want to just say a great big thank you to them, and also to anyone who had their name on the ballot or in any way has an open campaign report that has to be turned in. It's noon today, not 1 minute past noon. Please go get that job done. There were over 30-some people still not having their paperwork to the clerk's office.
What happens if you don't have your paperwork in?
Well, you can
get fined.
Get fined, and so people need to
get
it there.
That gets people's attention. Take money out of their own pocket.
Even if you didn't get it done right, do the best you can. Get something turned in. Do the best you can on this. Get something turned in. And that's at the voter registration office. There's free parking right there and easy to get there. Just go get it done. So hopefully everybody will do that. And also we've been told by our past president, Jeff McKim, that it appears we ended up the year with about $800,000 more than last year. So it will be interesting to note whether or not people have part of that money withheld to be able to use it next year for a contract or something, or exactly why the difference. You know, and we will soon be hearing from the state whether or not our budgets are approved, because until we get that, we don't know whether we got that excess levy or whatever's going on with that.
Oh, don't worry. You'll keep us updated on it.
I will. And in the meantime, I thank you so much for the opportunity.